gun back.
All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Good evening, and welcome all of you to our February 12th board meeting. Glad that you could be here this evening. The board's been a little bit tardy in getting down here. We were in a work session with the school board and executive session, and fortunately, clocks aren't working, so you can't tell how late we are. But we're a few minutes late, and we'll get on with the agenda. Now, if you'd stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and remain standing for the invocation by Reverend Cameron Abel from the Good News Jail Prison Ministry. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of the community called Henrico County. Lord, I thank you for the public servants that operate for our benefit, for our health, our safety, our welfare. I pray, Lord, that you will give those who make presentations tonight a sense of gratefulness for the privilege of being a part of this county. May they be respectful in their presentation and gracious, Lord, in their response to the decisions that are made. And I pray particularly, Lord, for this board that you will give them wisdom to reflect good stewardship of the funds and the responsibility you have entrusted to them. I pray particularly that your hand of blessing and goodness would be upon every public servant, Lord, who serves us in this county. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, then, Mr. Manager, I believe we do have some minutes for approval this evening.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. First item on the agenda, approval of minutes. This is a request for consideration of approval of your January 22nd, 2008 regular and special meeting minutes, and also your March 19th through the 22nd, 2007 special meeting.
I'm just curious why I'd be so late getting those minutes. I'm just curious. I know they're very long and they're very complete, but gosh, they're from March of 07.
They are, Ms. O'Bannon. A lot of activities in the office and so forth. There is no excuse. It just took us a long time to complete these, Ms. O'Bannon.
I know. It's your budget hearing date.
Yes, ma'am,
it's about the same time this year we have budget hearings.
Yes, ma'am.
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon and second by Thornton. Mr. Thornton. Are there any other questions, correction, anything? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And the minutes are approved. Mr. Manager, do you have some comments this evening?
I do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Is Michael Connell back there? Mike, did I miss you somewhere? If all of you would come forward, then I'm going to let her identify these individuals. The Commission on Accreditation and Rehabilitation Facilities has awarded a 3-year accreditation to Henrico Area Mental Health and Rehabilitation Services. This is the Commission's highest measure of quality assurance and is the result of a rigorous peer review process and an on-site examination by a team of the Commission surveyors of 8 programs and services. MHMR was specifically commended for its physical management and controls and approach to information and technology. The surveyors were impressed with the agency's quality improvement activities and management reporting. Most importantly, they commented on the commitment of the leadership and the staff to the mission and values of the agency, including a person-first environment and a conscious effort to remove barriers to inclusion. They saw throughout the agency that persons served were treated with dignity and respect, with their quality of life as a primary focus. An international nonprofit body, the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, offers accreditation of human service providers in the fields of rehabilitation, employment, Child and Family and Aging Services. Mental Health, Mental Retardation first earned the Commission's accreditation in 2001. Has now received three consecutive three-year accreditations from this organization. Congratulations to you and to the efforts on behalf of Henrico Chem. Identify everyone.
I have Michelle Johnson, who is our Division Director of Mental Retardation, Laura Toddy, who is our Division Director for Mental Health and Substance Abuse, Yvonne Russell, who is our program manager in charge of the whole CARF process, and I'm Lynn Goodale. I'm the director of administration and finance. On behalf of Henrico Area Mental Health and Retardation, I want to thank the members of the Board of Supervisors and the county manager for recognizing our three-year accreditation. As you know, our staff is dedicated to providing the highest quality services to the Henrico citizens with disabilities and their families. However, we would not be able to accomplish this goal or earn this accreditation without the support of the board and the manager. Therefore, we thank you for enabling us to serve our citizens so well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank
you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there is another person here with us who is going to be recognized this evening. However, those comments concerning her accomplishments hasn't come forward.
Yeah.
And I am going to ask for help. Ms. South, would you come to the podium? In this process, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen, we prepare these notes. They are included in my notebook, and for whatever reason, and that's no one's fault, we have delayed recognizing Ms. Risa South through the county attorney's office to ensure that she was here and that we could give this proper consideration. She has been inducted as a fellow into the Virginia Law Foundation. That is the aspect of recognition of top attorneys or lawyers in Virginia. And the individual, of course, who is most familiar with this, besides myself, of course, is our county attorney, Mr. Abbasada, and I'm going to ask him to provide some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I appreciate it and apologize to you and the audience for the paperwork misshuffle there. But let me just say the Virginia Law Foundation has a fellows board that is composed of actually the top 1%, and that's a very elite number of lawyers in the Commonwealth who are selected for their professionalism and their competence and their ability. And it's a real honor, Mr. Manager and board members, to Henrico County and to our office to have Risa inducted. I was privileged to be, at the ceremony last month in Williamsburg when she was inducted, among others. Justice Elizabeth Lacey, who just retired from the Supreme Court of Virginia, was inducted as an example. And that gives you an idea of the company in which Ms. South travels. And it's a high honor to her and to Henrico County, Mr. Chairman. And I was lucky enough and privileged enough to be inducted back in 2001. And, you know, one of my privileges is to have the people that work for me and that I hope to mentor and bring along. And Risa has certainly been one that I'm very proud of and who I now look to guidance. I call her my lawyer. And I'm proud to do that, and I congratulate her.
Yeah, we congratulate you as well.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, manager, and Joe, I very much appreciate the support that I've gotten through the county and the mentoring that I've gotten from Joe in particular, but from all of you, and seeing good government and the advancement of the rule of law in our society for the betterment of our citizens, and I thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Chairman, I have no other comments this evening.
Okay. Any board members have any comments this evening?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. This month I was reading an article in American City and County magazine, and it concerned me. And considering the folks we've honored this evening, I think this probably really is a good time to bring this up. In the article in American City and County, it was a survey taken of county and city employees, and it reflected their concerns, the employees' concerns, about a lack of a culture of ethics in some city and county governments. Now, I don't think Henrico County was necessarily, certainly wasn't pointed out in this, but it did concern me about the high percentages that I saw in that survey of employees who feel that there's something wrong with their government. And since Henrico always takes the lead and we are at the cutting edge of all these issues, I thought this was something that, well, I introduced it about 12 years ago and about 8 years ago, and I'd like to reintroduce it tonight because I found that persistence and consistence pays off. I believe we have a culture of ethics in the county here, but our view and our feelings about it do come from the top, which is the Board of Supervisors. So tonight I'd like to introduce a code of ethics that we could adopt at a future meeting, and also a standards of conduct paper for the board to follow. I did talk with Mr. Thornton, and he concurred that this was probably a good time to bring this up. And I know the last time I introduced it, we didn't get very far in the discussion, so I brought some paperwork with me tonight. I Googled the term, the idea of code of ethics, and I Googled the idea of the standards of conduct and found several counties in their area and in other states that had some really good code of ethics that I thought perhaps we could look at. So I just want to pass out the information about the article and the ethics codes that I've found, and I kind of combined a couple, but this isn't necessarily the final way to do it. But I thought it was just a good time to bring it up to our board again, and it seemed to be an appropriate time, and I don't know if anybody else wanted to comment, but Mr. Thornton did think this is probably a good time to just kind of talk about it or bring it up in the next few weeks.
Are you suggesting that we meet as a board and manager bring this forward?
Now, one of the things that I've noticed on our website is that the Board of Supervisors does have a mission statement, but unlike many other boards around the state, we don't have this code of ethics listed on our website. So that was one of the reasons I brought it up. When people come into the area, they've often told me that they Google the Henrico County website and they go down and they click on things, and we've been talking about better communication with citizens. So again, I think it's a good thing to be sure something like this is on our website to show that, unlike the governments that other employees that were polled in City and County Magazine, we're at the cutting edge and we're ahead of this, ahead of the curve in Henrico.
Okay, I guess this goes beyond our pledge and oath when we take office, and this is something that...
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, with the board's concurrence, we'll ask the manager to bring this to a work session at some appropriate time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have some comments. We have some special guests here tonight. And we're very honored. And joining us tonight in the audience is a group of students from J. Sergeant Reynolds Community College, Perham Road campus, who are currently taking a class in administrative practice and procedure in the college's legal assisting program. Their instructors are Ms. Brenda Friend Briggs, Esquire, and Ms. Melissa K. Velasquez, Esquire. As I call the names of the students, if they are present, would you please be so kind as to stand? Belinda Andrews, Brenda Kathleen, Kaylin Coleman, Yolanda L., Jessica Falcon, Cynthia White Jackson, Rachel Lieber, Kristen Lett, Nafisa Neal, Christina Pedraja, Edith Pollard, Shannon Purnell, Talithia Rice, Linda Scott, Tammy Sedley, Heather Silva, Angela Wells. We thank you for attending and being in attendance tonight. Let's give them a good you may be seated. We really thank you for coming to see government in action, and we particularly give note and kudos to your instructors.
Mr. Chairman, if you would allow me to interrupt just a moment, I apologize to you and members of the board. Ms. South is about to leave. And South, I apologize to you for not giving you that special recognition that you need in an individual's professional life, and I'm going to ask you to come back at your second meeting, or at the next meeting, in order to give you that proper recognition. And also, I would like to introduce those two individuals who are there with you. One is by the name of Robert, or Bob South, which is Reese's husband, and that is her daughter, Alex, who is with her, and I thank you all for coming.
Okay, any other board comments? We also have another, I'm pleased to have another special group with us tonight. We have Boy Scouts here tonight from Troop 702 and Troop 528. First of all, from Troop 702, I think we have 10 or 11 scouts, and Scoutmaster Mr. Moore, is he here? Anyway, will the boys from Troop 702, which meet at Second Baptist Church, would you all stand, please? Okay, out here. All right. And do you want to give us your name nice and loud so everybody and tell us what badge you're working on? Good. Okay. Is that? Okay, thank you for being here, and good luck with your Now Troop 528, which meets at Antioch Baptist Church, I think there are three or four members here, and the Scoutmaster is here. You all want to identify yourselves?
Michael Neal, Scoutmaster. Zach Cartrell.
Great job, guys. Thanks for being here. And also, I'd like to recognize news media here this evening. I think Will Jones. The only representative, thank you, here from the Times-Dispatch, Will. And now then, Mr. Manager, I think we're ready to move into the public hearing and some zoning cases.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as we proceed into your public hearing agenda for rezoning some provisional use permits, there are two items that are being requested for deferral this evening. The first is the first item on your agenda, 346-07, being C-48C-07 in the Brooklyn District. It's Cadence Capital Investment. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R3, one-family residence district, to B2C, business district conditional, approximately 1.4 acres located at the northwest intersection of Staples Mill Road and Old Staples Mill Road. This item was deferred from your December 11th agenda, and a request is being made to defer this item until August the 12th, 2008.
Mr. Chairman, it's a public hearing, so would you check to see if there's any opposition to a deferral?
All right. This is a public hearing, and there's a request for deferral of this case until August 12th. Does anybody in the audience object to that deferral? Okay. Seeing
hearing none, Mr. Chairman, I move we follow the recommendation and request of the applicant to defer the case until August the whatever it was.
12th.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Donati that the case be deferred until August 12th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. And that case is deferred.
Second item, Mr. Chairman, to be considered for deferral is 31-08, being P-8-07 in the Barina District. This is Richmond, 20 megahertz. This is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code in order to construct a 144-foot high telecommunications tower located on the west line of Beulah Road and approximately 195 feet north of Treble Road. The Planning Commission did vote to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. The request is being made to defer this item until February 26th.
Mr. Chairman, would you see if anyone's in opposition to
this? It's also a case of, being requested for a deferral provisional use permit, and the case in Verona District would be deferred until our next meeting on February 26th. Anybody object to that deferral?
Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I move that we defer this case on February 26th.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Denati, seconded by Mr. Thornton, the case be deferred. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. This case also deferred.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, we now move to your first case this evening, which is designated on your agenda as 42-08. It's being C-40C-07 in the Three Chop District. This is Yashira and Edna Hanna and Donald and Sharon Whitehorn. This is a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District to R2AC, one family residence district conditional, approximately 7.1 acres located on the northwest line of Hams Lane and approximately 1,550 feet north of its intersection with Shady Grove Road. The Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors deny this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-40C-07 is a request to allow the expansion of an existing single-family residential development, commonly known as Hampshire. The 2010 Land Use Plan recommends rural residential and environmental protection area for the subject site. Single-family use is consistent with this designation, and the density proposed is consistent with the recent residential development adjacent to the subject site. You have just received revised proffers dated February 12, 2008, with revisions to proffer number 1, referencing a revised conceptual plan, new proffers number 13 and 15, with 13 proffering a stormwater drainage system, and 15 proffering assurance of developer notification of subdivision hearing dates and times to adjacent property owners and interested parties. In order to ensure quality development, the applicant has submitted proffers consistent with recent development immediately to the west in Hampshire Section 4. The proffer statement contains many features, including the following: a conceptual plan limiting the development to no more than 12 homes, a density of 1.68 units to the acre. Each home would have a two-car garage with 75% required to be side or rear loading. All dwelling units would have a minimum finished floor area of 2,800 square feet. 60% of the lots would be a minimum of 90 feet wide. Specified materials, including 50% of the homes, to have 50% brick or stone fronts. No access would be permitted to Hames Lane from the subject properties, and a conceptual drainage plan. It should be noted that concerns have been raised regarding wetlands and drainage by adjacent residents, and the applicant held several community meetings in an attempt to address these concerns. In response to concerns regarding the wetlands delineation for the property, a revised wetlands confirmation was provided by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on February 1st. Wetlands impacts are reflected on the proffered conceptual plan and will require permits from the Corps. Any requirements relating to wetlands would be addressed during the subdivision process. In addressing concerns regarding drainage, the applicant has proffered a conceptual drainage plan, which you see in front of you. This plan would not only handle the drainage from the proposed development, but also assist to relieve drainage issues in the adjacent developments. The Planning Commission, at its meeting on January 10th, recommended this request be denied due to concerns regarding the wetlands delineation and stormwater drainage. Staff believes Commission concerns regarding the wetlands delineation and drainage on the property have been addressed with the February 1st wetlands confirmation from the Corps of Engineers and the proffered drainage plan. Staff believes the proposed development is appropriate at this location, and the commitments provided by the applicant through the proffered conditions provide for quality development in keeping with adjacent subdivisions and consistent with the developing area. Staff supports this request. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
As you indicated, there have been a number of meetings with some of the neighbors concerned about this zoning, and there was a meeting on Monday morning. Is proffer number 15, was that been added since that time?
Yes, sir, it has.
Could you cover that a little bit?
Proffer number 15 was added in order to assure that the notice would be made to the adjacent property owners. Under the subdivision process, the county does not notify adjacent property owners when a development goes through the subdivision process. It does through POD, site plan, however, okay, not through subdivision. In order to address the need to notify adjacent property owners of this activity in front of the commission, the developer has proffered to notify the adjacents and also to notify any other interested parties whose names are contained in our files that we have collected during these numerous community meetings that have been held. And they will provide that information to the Director of Planning for certification if this is occurring.
Because the subdivision itself is only conditional, or it's concept.
Currently it's in conceptual, but when it goes through the design phase, that does not require notification of adjacent property owners, and that is why the developer is going to take that piece for us and make sure that occurs.
And you've indicated that the staff and Public Works are comfortable now with the drainage proposal.
Yes, sir, we are, and there are representatives of Public Works here as well that are available to answer your questions on the drainage issues if you have any.
Okay. Are there any other questions by board members?
Yeah, can you just talk about lot number 9 and what they're going to do there?
Lot number 9 clearly is impacted by the wetlands delineation, and let's go back to the conceptual because it actually more accurately reflects the wetlands that have been confirmed by the Corps. It's my understanding, and the applicant can address this further, that they plan to attempt to mitigate the wetlands on lot number 9. If they're unsuccessful with that, obviously lot number 9 may disappear during the subdivision process. But this is conceptual at this time.
Okay. Any other questions by board members? I believe there is opposition here this evening. Would you all like to hear the case and comment? Okay. And I think maybe Ms. Conlon would like to present the case.
Chairman, members of the board, manager, my name is Andy Conlon from Williams Mullen, here representing Mr. and Mrs. Hanna. Mr. Hanna is here with us this evening, who is the owner of lot 13 in Bridalwood, which is this lot here, and has under contract to purchase this portion of lot 14, again, part of Bridalwood along Haynes Lane, which is, as you know, a large lot subdivision that's long been subdivided quite a bit ago. Also have with me Dan Kasky of Bay Design Group, who's been handling a lot of the wetlands issue here to answer any little technical questions as you come along. What we're proposing is really consistent with the subdivision that was approved previously in 2003 by this board with respect to Bridalwood, the backside of the Bridalwood subdivision, allow for the subdivision based on the court case that came forward with respect to the restrictive covenants and the utilities coming to this area, and the county, I think, deeming at that point that this area was appropriate for development at that time. Unfortunately, this does come to you with Planning Commission recommendation for approval, or excuse me, for denial, but the recommendation was based on two things, as Mr. Emerson had pointed out. The Army Corps of Engineers provided a confirmation letter that was preliminary, and there was an email from the Army Corps of Engineers that said there may have been a mistake made. So based on that, we've gone out and we've been able to actually receive another letter dated this month, February 1st, that confirms the wetlands that you showed on the that have been shown on the concept plan. The second was a confirmation of the drainage plan, which again we've received confirmation from Department of Public Works that drainage plan is sufficient to not only take care of our property but to pick up adjacent drainage from that standpoint. Based on that, we feel like since those have both have been resolved, that is why staff is now recommending approval. I'd like to make three quick points about that, which is that from a strictly land use perspective, this makes a lot of sense and is pretty straightforward. The pattern of development has already been established by the prior cases as well as the surrounding uses. Our density is actually less than the cases that have been approved prior to this time, and our proffers submitted have met the quality assurances that you're looking for. The reasons for the Planning Commission recommendation have been resolved, and obviously this is a logical extension of the surrounding zonings and an appropriate use of the property. The second point is with respect to the wetlands. As you know, that is a jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers. The process has gone through typically as you would through the Army Corps of Engineers, where the property is surveyed and the wetlands are flagged. Army Corps came out to the property, walked the property and the entirety of the property, and confirmed in a preliminary letter, I can go to the concept plan, they actually confirmed these wetlands that were in this area and this area, but told us that these wetlands were not wetlands. This area here were not wetlands. There was an email from the Army Corps of Engineers that specifically said that there may have been a mistake made, and so the Planning Commission made their recommendation. After that, the Army Corps came back out and then confirmed that these were, in fact, wetlands, which is what we had on our plan all along. We revised our plan accordingly, and that's the plan that you're looking at today. was obviously unusual in that typically this is a subdivision issue. Typically when a subdivision comes before the Planning Commission, there's even a condition on there that says that final approval will be subject to Army Corps of Engineers confirmation of the delineation of wetlands. Instead, we've done this up front because of the wetlands, because of the nature of the drainage problems. Mrs. O'Bannon, to address your question with respect to Lot 9, as you can see, Lot 15 and 16 actually are part of lots in Millrace. Those were also part within the wetlands, went over those lots. It's not unusual at all to provide for wetlands and have an impact on the wetlands, and those have to be approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. We cannot get those approvals until we go through the subdivision process, and we'll be subject to those final approvals from the Army Corps of Engineers permitting those. Our entire impacts are less than a half an acre. We feel that based on our experience with the Bay Design Group and Mr. Caskett that those will be approved, but if they're not, that simply will not be constructed in that area. Probably will become part of lots 8 and 10 at that point for two larger lots. So, again, this is not an unusual situation. In fact, it was done immediately next door. A final point with respect to the drainage plan. Certainly, this is appropriate for subdivision review, and I don't think I've ever proffered a case and never seen a case where the drainage plan was actually provided for to this extent in the actual zoning case. We have proffered that plan, and it has been reviewed and seen as sufficient from the Department of Public Works at the county. The drainage plan specifically provides for a swale that would go around the perimeter of the property, and you can see we have drop inlets throughout specific provisions or points within the property itself. The interesting thing about this property is that all the property to the north in Hampshire South and to the east in Millrace all drain through this wetlands area that you see here to the pond that sits about in this area over in this location. When Millrace was developed, actually, the property was actually built within the wetlands area and it was still brought in, and that was pretty much the extent of how they dealt with the wetlands and with the Millrace. The result of that was that obviously that was done at a different time with different policies, but we end up picking up all the drainage, and there's excess drainage that comes off both through irrigation facilities and obviously the stormwater coming off of downspouts and impervious surface. The other thing that at that time is that there was a lack of any drainage facilities put in at that time for that subdivision. So that is causing a lot of backup when you add the fences in the back of some of those yards. It is causing a lot of pooling and wet situations and conditions occurring on Millrace, and that's also causing it on this area. What we're proposing is in this drainage plan is actually picking up all of that water as it comes onto our property, pulling it away from that property line, and sending it down to where it naturally wants to go. This drainage system is probably something that should have been done as part of the Millrace subdivision at the time, if those were the same requirements and policies that we have today. We understand this is a sensitive situation. We've tried to take steps in every instance to address the concerns and the issues and provide for adequate handling of the stormwater and the wetlands issues. This is obviously the first of many steps, including the subdivision approval process, Army Corps of Engineers, which has jurisdiction over the wetlands approvals. This is simply a request for a rezoning case for an appropriate use that's consistent with the surrounding uses. Based on that, we feel we've met all jurisdictional prerequisites for approval of this rezoning case. We believe this case is consistent with the surrounding uses, the previous zoning cases with the same land use plan designations, the proffers that are provided at provided a consistent quality that you expect in this area, and we've resolved the Planning Commission concerns and comes forward to you with a staff recommendation. Based on that, we would ask for your approval of this case, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I've been over this case on a number of occasions. Any board members here have any questions from Mr. Conley?
Just to understand it better. You said there's a swale around the back. Is that it's a dip? Is that what that is? There's a swale
There would be a pipe that would be going around. The swale will actually sit on top of the pipe. The pipe will actually take in the water, and there will be drop inlets at this point. You can see the drop inlets at these.
And how big is that pipe? I just wanted
to hasn't been designed specifically yet as to how big that is, because we have to do the further studies to pick up the water from the adjacent properties and our properties. From that standpoint, I think there's, I don't know what the, Dan, if you want to address that otherwise, as far as the size of the pipe and what the expectations are. I know there's a minimum size that we have to provide for, but again, mm-hmm. Department of Public Works, per our proffer, has to approve that and the size of the pipe and the details.
Sure. Hi, I'm